The scripture today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being beaten up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders reject has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a stone of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning and happy new year, First Family. If you're watching this, we made it to 2021. Every time we film one of these, I'm starting to feel like it's a time capsule, like in the movies where you're like, if you're watching this, it means, but yeah, I digress. Good morning and happy new year's. Last new year's, I was in Angola and Namibia enjoying some time with my family and friends. This year, not so much. There are so many things to lament and grieve over this past year. But there is also some light in these dark days. People are finding creative ways to care for and support each other. Vaccines are coming. There are still great movies being made. I just watched Soul, and if you get a chance, I would highly recommend you watch it. You know, it's easy to get caught up in negativity and chaos from 2020. We don't need to run it back, as it were. These months, I have continually felt the stress of how do we live well during this time? What does it mean to be the church? Jenna and I have often talked about how our faith is, or should I say should be, shaping how we live today. Alan Fadling, author of the book An Unhurried Leader, shares that often when he carries a distorted vision of God, his work tends to become distorted and unattractive. He mentions that when his vision of God is distorted, he becomes driven by his anxiety and a desire to control in his work and in his leadership and in his family. And he challenges his readers to consider the distorted visions of God that they have and how it's impacting their work, their leadership, and their life. And his comment got me thinking about my vision of God and reflecting on how we see God. Do we trust that God is good, creative, wise, and loving? Do we see God as good, creative, wise, and loving, so that in our daily life, we live and work from this place of trust? Or perhaps our vision of God is caught up in fear or judgment. Perhaps our vision of God is caught up in what we can do for God rather than his love for us. You know, the person who provides the most complete response to the question of what God is like is Jesus Christ. For when we see Jesus, we see what the Father is like and can know him. Jesus is to be the vision of the living God that we have. And so seeing Jesus is the focal point of this sermon and sermon series. Most of us, after Christmas, probably have the picture of seeing baby Jesus still fresh in our minds. Or maybe you always picture Jesus as a grown man. Does he have a great hipster beard? Don't know why I'm touching mine, it's not great. How white is his tunic? Why are Jesus' tunics always white? Recently, I was given a series of pictures of Jesus from Jan and Fran Bohr. I'm gonna just take a few moments just to show you them. So here we have a picture of Jesus with Mary. Just love the images that this collection is. Here, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And finally, we have Jesus here at his resurrection, at the tomb, Mary Magdalene, those who have found him. In these drawings, we see Jesus repeatedly depicted as a black African. What a sign for our time to see Jesus represented in art as both a black baby and a black man, affirming the dignity and beauty of all, and how we all bear the imago Dei, or put more simply, we all bear the image of God. Anthony recently preached that when you become a Christian, God gives you himself. He gives you the life of Christ in you. And so we might say, we are all mini Christs, or image Christ to one another. And this leads me to look at our passage for today, to see how we see Jesus in 1 Peter 2, and what that means for how we then see our identity. And so let us pray. God, we pray that we would encounter you. We pray, Lord, that we would see you this morning in this sermon and in this message. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The image of Christ in 1 Peter 2 is Christ as the living stone. It says in verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. Followed by verse 6, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. Followed by verses 7 and 8, but this stone is the stone the builders rejected and is a stumbling block to people. Now, unless you're a geologist or an architect, or maybe you're dating someone pretty seriously, you probably don't think about loving or choosing stones that much. I mean, I just highly doubt that stones are at the forefront of your mind. And so for those of us who don't love stones, N.T. Wright's comments concerning this stone metaphor are helpful. He writes that the purpose of the stone metaphor in this passage is twofold. For one, the living stone signifies the temple, and as scholars have noted, for Jewish people at that time, the temple is not just a building. It is the place to find God. The temple is where you would meet with God. It is holy. It is set apart. It's where you went to have a real encounter with God. It's hard to find a parallel in our context for a place that carries as much significance for encountering God as the temple did for Jewish people at that time. I think for some of us, when we climb up a mountain and we reach the summit, there is a sense of encountering God. Though for others of us, we are just left absolutely exhausted, especially if you're hiking with my wife. I find that even people who don't know or believe in God have an encounter with the transcendent when they reach a summit. Or another example comes from some of our new gen friends when they go to Keats or Anvil Island. They have these encounters with God, holy places. It's incredible to hear the stories of preteens after a week of camp. Real encounters of experiencing God. For others of us, it's found in moments of silence and solitude. Similarly, this is what the temple was for Jewish people at that time. It is the embodiment of the living God's presence and peace with them. For Peter's listeners and recipients of this letter, the use of the stone metaphor in this passage would have brought to mind this understanding of the temple. And so when Peter speaks of this specific stone, he is not speaking of just any stone, but of a stone that is the embodiment of God's presence and peace, a living stone because of the resurrected person of Jesus Christ. When Peter calls Jesus the living stone, Peter is directly connecting Christ with the temple and the living God. And so seeing Jesus as the living stone means that we see that God has come and is to dwell with us in Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. God's presence is no longer located in the temple, the building, but in the person of Jesus. The second meaning for the stone metaphor is that the word stone at that time was also connected with the promise of the coming King and Messiah, which meant the start of a new kingdom. And if we were to read in Acts 4, we would hear the Apostle Peter, who writes this same letter, preach a sermon echoing this statement on Jesus. declaring, "The stone that the builders rejected has now become the most important stone of all. And in him alone we find salvation and healing." Friends, this is the gospel, that Christ has come and is raised from the dead. And for those who believe in Christ, will never be put to shame. They will now be saved, even in the midst of their suffering. There is hope. My friend, Dr. Jason Biasi, recently shared this with me concerning the gospel. He says this: "This is the gospel. Jesus Christ, who is rejected, is the cornerstone on which the whole new temple is built." That's the reversal of the gospel. What's despised becomes indispensable, and all the rest of us are built upon it. And so seeing Jesus as the living stone helps us to better understand the gospel. Seeing Jesus as the living stone means that we see the good news of the living God's presence with us and the start of Christ's kingdom in this world. Let me say that again. Seeing Jesus as the living stone means that we see the good news of the living God's presence with us and the start of his Christ's kingdom in this world. For he who was rejected and despised welcomes us and calls us by name. For as we come to Jesus, we are now called living stones. As we now live in God's kingdom, our identity shifts. And it is the characteristics of us as living stones that I want to spend the rest of our time on this morning. You know, for many years, we have viewed the church as a building. Sure, we meet in different types of buildings, but it's still a building. And to belong to a church meant to many of us to being a part of or associated with a particular building. Then COVID-19 came along, and we have rightly been forced to begin to change our understanding. And this passage helps us to unpack who we are called to be as the church in light of who Christ is. Reading in verses 4 and 5, it says this: "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." As Christ is the living stone chosen by God, we now too, as we come to faith in Christ, are being called living stones. The living God chooses Jesus, and he chooses us to be living stones. Though we feel unworthy, though we suffer, though we feel lonely, though we feel despised, though we sin, God chooses you to be a living stone of his temple. You are a part of his massive building project that is way bigger than the one we got going on next door. You are a stone in the building where Christ serves as the cornerstone. You know, no matter how insignificant, fearful, and despised you may feel, God chooses you. Wherever you are, know that you are a part of God's temple in the world. God sends Jesus, the living stone, so that we can be the chosen living stones for Christ, offering our spiritual sacrifices to God, offering our work, offering our families, offering our lives to him. In verse 9, our identity as living stones gets explained further. It says, "You are a chosen people, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." In the ESV translation, it says, "You are a chosen race." And I've been reflecting on that reality. You are a chosen race. We are a chosen race, or chosen people. Karen Jobes, a biblical scholar, she writes, "What a word this is for the church in its fight against racism." The word racism in the year 2020 was the source of much conversation and tension in our city and the world. The COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted injustices and inequalities that have been present for years. Stereotypes have been highlighted. Conversations that often went unspoken or avoided have been started or intensified. It's lit a fire. The reality is, friends, God didn't choose us to be living stones so that we would stay within our own ethnic or racial groups. God also didn't choose us to be living stones so that we would become colorblind and forget our ethnicities and cultures. Rebecca, citing Andrew Walls, commented that the gospel breaks into culture and transforms parts of it. And other parts of it, it leaves because it's beautiful and good. Sisters and brothers, God chooses us to be a people who image the diversity of his kingdom in our world, in his world, sorry. Multi-ethnic and multicultural churches. It's why we can have pictures of Black Jesus and uphold them as good. It's why we can worship in different languages. God chooses us so that, in the words of John Perkins, a civil rights advocate who marched with Dr. King and whose brother was killed by a white police officer in Mississippi, and yet John Perkins remains committed to the cause of racial reconciliation. In Perkins' words, we might be beloved communities in the fight against racism, places of healing, welcoming everyone to the table. God chooses us so that we, in the words of Dr. Sung Chan Ra, may practice prophetic lament and cry out with those who are suffering from racism and call for justice. It's why Archbishop Desmond Tutu can help lead the truth and reconciliation conversation in South Africa. It's why, even in the midst of suffering from racism, many Africans and African Americans continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because they know they are chosen, special, and valued. They know the night and day difference that God made for them. They know that they are living stones. We are living stones. We have a new identity that unites us in Christ, but also one that celebrates our differences. Chosen living stones, a chosen race. Again in verse 9, you are a royal priesthood so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Or as Eugene Peterson writes in The Message, so that we might tell the stories of the night and day difference God made for us, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. And so as living stones, we are also now royal priests. Saying that may make you feel a bit awkward. I don't feel like a priest, or I don't feel like I think a priest should feel. But one of our youth recently shared this line with me: God energy vibes. And I think it's appropriate for our understanding of priesthood. As a priest, you send out some God energy vibes. You are a conductor of traffic from heaven to earth. In short, you mediate Jesus and the love of God to your fellow persons and the world. And this past year, as we have been apart, we have missed this. We have missed this part of our lives. We have missed this connectedness, this part of our priestly identity. But through Zoom, I know we don't always love through Zoom, but through Zoom, I have seen Jonathan, Maria, Claire, Allie, Christy, Sonia, Noel, Eric, and Spencer minister to our preteens, to our youth, and to myself. They have shared their stories of how God has worked and is working in their lives. They provide witness to who God is in Scripture and what he has done. What a gift. They have been living stones, priests in this city and this place. As living stones, God calls us to be a holy nation so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In Exodus 19 and 24, we read that the Israelites were chosen to be a holy nation and the witness of Yahweh in the world. Peter now equates the church with being the new Israel, the new kingdom which was started with Christ's coming means that we are now the people of God in God's kingdom. We are now chosen to be a witness in the world to what God has done. We are living stones so that we may show the world that we are citizens of heaven first and foremost. As living stones, we are also precious to God. Again, verse 9, it reads, "You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Friends, did you know you are God's special possession? As the parable goes in Luke 15, the shepherd leaves the 99 in search of the one who got lost. Leaves the 99 in search of the one who got lost. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, takes it home, and invites his friends over to celebrate. That's how much God loves each one of us. You are God's special possession. He is always there to shepherd you, to protect you, to pursue you, and to rejoice over you. Living stones, God's special possession. Now, this passage and sermon has definitely included its fair share of action items. But I know that I personally miss the mark on so much. And I don't often feel like how this passage calls me to feel or to be. And I don't see the church always living this out. And so as we come to the end of our time this morning, let me highlight verse 10 for us, which might give us some hope. It says this, "Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Friends, it's only because God is merciful that we, like Christ, are now called living stones. It's only in his mercy. No doubt the church, or let me change that, no doubt each one of us continues to fail in understanding and living out our calling and identity. But because God is rich in mercy, we are now living stones, chosen to represent him. We now have a new way of being human. We are now living stones so that we might declare the praise of him who brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light. As a friend of mine shared with me recently, his 5-year-old son, Silas, was asking him about the temple in the Old Testament. Impressive, I know, a 5-year-old asking about the temple. You're probably thinking, man, my kids ask me about Among Us and what's for dinner. At least that's what I was talking about when I was a 5-year-old. But his son had asked him about the temple. And after hearing his dad explain that the temple was now Jesus, his son commented, "So each church is like a building block for the temple then? If you were here, I might ask for an amen." The truth is often best shared by children, isn't it, friends? We as living stones are the temple or church wherever we are, and witness to what God has done, to what God is doing, and to what God will do. Seeing Jesus as the living stone means seeing ourselves as living stones. It means seeing ourselves as part of God's spiritual house and temple, witnessing to who Jesus is to the world. My hope and prayer is that this year, 2021, we see Jesus as the living stone, and we would live into our new identity as living stones for Christ. A new identity, which is a gift because of God's rich, rich mercy. Many blessings. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. For more sermons and information about our church's services and programs, please visit firstbc.org.